This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle, or a home invader looking for an open window, a jilted lover looking for revenge, or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, I'm the narrator, host of the podcast Mythical. I'd like to wish you a season full of fairy tale moments, sugar plums, good wishes, and no Krampuses. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Yo guys, it's me, Harper, and I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. See, that's funny.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, Kim.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
I cannot believe we are pulling this off.
So far, don't jinx it. Jinx it.
We're not even that. We're almost done now.
I know, but still, you know how it is.
I'm praying nothing goes wrong. It will. It will. It's too early. Like, we two episodes out. Who knows what could happen? Right? Am I right?
Let's keep the faith, man. Keep the faith. Got to do it.
I hear you have quite the interesting case with two little cutie pies.
Tale to tell. Which, and I had never heard of this man before. He is they call him the Black Angel or Angel of Death.
Oh.
Supposedly one of the bloodiest murderers in Argentina.
Ooh. Do tell.
The other one I came across was his nickname. God love him, and this is so wrong. The big-eared midget.
Was he a killer?
He was a killer. He killed like four little boys and I think suspected or attempted murder of seven others.
Couldn't his victims outrun him?
You'd think he could fly with those ears. But he died in he was born in 1800s and he died in 1944.
Oh, so this is an old case.
That was a really old case. Yeah, the big-eared midget. Could you... Okay, we talked about how awful it would be to say her identifying mark was the yellow incisor.
Or the moles.
Or the moles. Yep. Yeah, how awful your moniker is the...
Not that there's anything wrong with either of those.
No, not at all. But I just think that that's a...
I mean, that is a moniker. Very identifying.
Very.
Sock it to me or hit me up or whatever.
Tell you the story?
Yes, that.
All right. Carlos? Now, okay.
Jennifer is not bilingual. She just wants you to know that right now because I can sense that there's going to be some name pronunciation errors.
Well, since it is Argentina, most of the...
What do they speak in Argentina?
I believe it's Spanish, isn't it? But anyway, most of the English websites were pretty much just copy-pastes of Wikipedia. So I had to find some of this on websites that were... based in Argentina, and I had to use Google Translate, which really isn't that good. Oh, and I also cannot pronounce the names very well. I know I'm pronouncing them wrong, but I'm sorry in advance. I barely have command of the English language as it is.
Just two Midwest girls. I mean, come on now.
All right. So, Carlos Eduardo Robledo Puch. That was his name. Not joking. All of it.
Okay.
Some people called him Carlitos. Some people called him Robledo. I don't know. So I'm just going to pick one and then we'll go by that. Okay. I'll call him Carlos. How's that?
I was just going to say, yeah.
Carlos is easy. Carlos was born on January 19th, 1952. He lived in Buenos Aires, Argentina. He was an only child. And his family, I've heard some reports said that they were working class. Others said that they were not like totally wealthy, but they were very comfortable. They also were very religious. Carlos was also said to be a shy child, but that doesn't fit into where we're going here.
Uh-oh.
His mother suffered from depressive psychosis, which is a psychotic depression. They have
like bipolar, or is that
it's kind of like bipolar, and it's kind of like a schizoaffective disorder.
Oh,
it's okay. Like a mix. A psychotic depression, also known as depressive psychosis. It's a major depressive episode that is accompanied by psychotic symptoms like hallucinations.
Oh, so it's more severe.
Correct. And it's very rare. Like only 0.3% of the population has it. Carlos was an extremely bright child, very smart. Mm-hmm. He could speak three languages. He spoke English, Spanish, and German. And he was also a very talented piano player. But Carlos also had a problem with authority, and he didn't get along with many of his classmates. He was also extremely cute. He had curly blonde hair.
Picture. Very cute.
Very cute. I mean, star quality cute. Very. Model. Totally cute. The picture's in black and white, and at first I thought it was like an
Abercrombie and Fitch model. And
yeah, yes, exactly.
Totally. He was.
One of those models. Yes, that's what I thought.
The curly, longer hair. Yeah. I had no idea he was, it was that old. I thought it was a current picture.
Exactly.
To me.
In 1971, Carlos is in his second year of school. Mm-hmm. He's about 18 years old, 17 years old, somewhere around there. And he meets a 16-year-old by the name of Jorge Antonio Ibanez. Mm-hmm. Now, Jorge, he was also cute.
Was he cute?
Seriously,
too?
He was really cute. There's like one picture that I could find of him. He was very tall. He had
Who's
dark
the one
skin.
That you sent me? What picture was that?
Carlos.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Well, Jorge was the exact opposite. He was tall. He had dark skin, dark eyes, broad swimmer shoulders.
Oh. Look at you. Look at you studying that picture.
I know. He was really cute. He also, he had a past record. He'd been detained a couple times for robbery. So he wasn't exactly the...
At 16?
Okay. He wasn't exactly your boy next door. Mm-hmm. When they first met, Jorge told Carlos that stealing gives you adrenaline. It's really fun. He would boast about how he would go into the churches at night and steal the money that was left from the offerings.
Jesus. I mean, literally Jesus.
I know.
Sorry.
One of Jorge's relatives had said that Jorge had always dreamed about acting in movies, which mm-hmm. he totally could have been a movie star because he had those good looks.
Like me.
And he also said that Jorge had a huge heart and he was a very good looking guy, which is true. I saw the picture. And he just wanted to get out of crime, but he met Carlos.
Yeah. That's how I think that that works sometimes. You know what I mean? Like you'd be okay on your own and then you meet somebody and it's just the chemistry and oof. Leopold and Loeb.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, but like, as standalones, it'd be fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Carlos stole motorcycles at the time, and Jorge was a fan of motorcycles. Carlos said, you know, you got to stop doing this petty theft. You have to go bigger, do bigger things. Yep. Their friendship, of course, they both got in trouble for bad behavior, and they were soon expelled from school. And while they were, I guess, expelled, they learned how to use blow torches.
See, I really believe that expelling kids from school is the worst. That's
especially if like, they're already in a bad track.
You're doing a bad thing. So here, we're going to give you 2 weeks out of school.
Oh, they were expelled like permanently. Expelled.
Yeah. Just not good.
They learned how to use a blowtorch and they learned it so they can open safes.
Oh, these are teenagers.
Young. Okay. Ibanez wanted Carlos to meet his father. So one day, I'm just going to call him Jorge because that's easier.
That's
Jorge
right.
is a lot
yeah,
easier.
I got you.
So Jorge wanted Carlos to meet his father. So one day, Carlos came over to Jorge's house and they went to the patio where Jorge's father was outside with a gun and he was doing target practice. Now, Jorge's dad also had a criminal record.
Shocker.
He was target shooting with a 22-gauge shotgun. He sees Carlos and Jorge and said, hey, how are you doing, my dear? That's the translation, part of the translation.
That is not what he said, but okay.
The father said, hey, come over here and let's see how you can shoot.
What so, you got?
So he gives the shotgun to Carlos. Carlos had never held a gun before in his life. Picked up the shotgun, aimed it, and he was within 10 centimeters from the bullseye.
Hmm.
First shot. Once they were expelled from school, they began to steal like crazy. They would go to cheap motels. They'd divvy up the booties in the hotel, and then they'd spend the nights talking about where they're going to rob next.
Were they lovers?
There have been rumors that they were more than friends, but that has, I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
Jorge had a girlfriend.
That doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they felt free. Didn't have parents.
They got to do whatever they wanted.
Right.
I like
they were
that.
Free. They were mid to late teens and they were free. They could do everything. And they would walk through the streets in the middle of the night and they would go by what places to rob next.
So they were casing stores. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd rob jewelry stores, car dealerships, supermarkets. And they're planning, mm-hmm. once we learn everything, we're going to start robbing banks.
Mm-hmm.
And when they would go on these walks, they would find which ones the guards were sleeping, which ones were not armed, so they could plan. Carlos told Jorge one night, and this is the translation, at 20, you cannot walk without a car and without a twine. I don't know what it is. When I looked up
Thank
twine.
Thank you, Google translation. No,
when I looked up twine, it just showed up twine.
Twine.
So I don't know what it meant by twine. Isn't that funny? Once they started to really rob places and start getting money, the big money, made a pact that they would not leave a victim alive.
Okay.
That whoever came in their path, they would kill. And it's not clear if they...
See, that's where they messed up. I mean, honestly.
Well, they've messed up a lot, but no, it's not clear.
Robbery is one thing, murder is another.
And it's not clear if they alternated the kills,
mm-hmm.
but it was known that Albeñez raped
women victims.
Women victims.
That's
or
terrible.
He would find victims and he would
and
rape
them. And he was the 16 year old?
He was the 16 year old.
Ugh.
On March 15th, 1971, Carlos and Jorge robbed a discotheque by the name of Enamor. They got away with 350,000 pesos, which I have no idea what the equivalent is today. Before leaving, Carlos used a ruby pistol and killed the owner of the discotheque and the night watchman while they slept.
Yikes.
On May 9th, 1971, at 4 a.m., Carlos and Jorge broke into a Mercedes-Benz spare parts store.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the rooms, they found the couple with their newborn baby.
Oh, no.
Carlos shot and killed the man. He also shot the woman, but she only sustained injuries. Jorge attempted to rape her after she was shot. Freak. The woman survived the ordeal and later testified at Carlos's trial. As they were leaving...
Please tell me that the baby's fine.
Carlos shot the crib where the newborn lay crying, but luckily he missed.
Thank God.
They came away with 400,000 pesos.
What is wrong with people? Seriously.
Awful. May 24th, 1971, both criminals killed a night watchman at a supermarket. On June 13th, 1971, Jorge raped a 17-year-old girl in the backseat of a stolen car, after which Carlos killed the teenager by shooting her five times. On June 24th, 1971, they drove to the same location and repeated the crime. Jorge attempted to rape a 23-year-old woman, and then Carlos executed her afterwards, but shot her seven times. One day, while riding on a stolen motorcycle, they were stopped by the police, and since they didn't have the papers, they were arrested. And I guess Jorge was driving. I'm not sure, it didn't say, but Jorge was the one that went to the police station, and that's where Carlitos just abandoned him.
Mm-hmm.
Never showed up.
I think I might desert you, too.
I would desert you,
yeah,
too.
So, it's fair.
So after a short time, they became friends again, and they started going to the bars. Carlos noticed that Jorge didn't really seem the same. I think Jorge was trying to straighten up his act, and this is where he became wanting... This
probably
is when he started.
Scared, too.
He became scared, right. And I think he just wanted to set his sights on becoming an actor. When Carlos asked him what was wrong, he's like, you know what? I'm dating this girl and I've been offered a part to be in this musical and it was going to air on TV. And it said that that was the moment that Carlos felt that his friendship wasn't the same.
Yeah. Somebody's selling somebody out.
Exactly. So after a few beers, Jorge wanted to plan another robbery. They both knew that they just weren't quite ready to pull off robbing a bank yet.
Because they're teenagers?
Exactly.
Okay.
But they were working on it. Jorge said, let's rob the supermarket. And Carlos is like, okay, well, unfortunately, they never got to rob the supermarket because August 5th, they were in the car. Carlos was driving. Jorge was in the passenger seat. And they collided head on with a taxi cab.
What? That's not the end of the story, surely. And don't call me Shirley.
Carlos miraculously jumped out of the car before the car crashed with the taxi cab, and Jorge died.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos then proceeded to take all identification and everything away from Jorge's body and fled the scene.
Mm-hmm.
The police later came and closed the case, saying nothing happened. It wasn't
just an accident.
Just an accident, but Jorge's family thinks a little bit differently.
Yeah, I think so too.
The relatives always swear that Carlos did it on purpose because he knew that Jorge would rat him out. If
that's
again.
True, then he is a super kind of evil at that young age, too. Oh, God.
Jorge's family said he killed him because he was the person who could most compromise him. The police closed the case and said the whole thing was an accident. Although the relatives of Jorge said that Carlos planned it and he had killed Jorge, Carlos claimed that it was a miracle because he jumped out of the car before it crashed. A couple months after Jorge died, Carlos gets to talking to his neighbor and finds a new accomplice in Hector Somoza.
How old is he?
It didn't say. November 15th, 1971, Carlos and Hector Somoza storm a supermarket and using a .32 caliber Astra pistol that they had obtained in a robbery at an armory. But I couldn't find whether they killed anyone or whether they stole anything. But what I could find is just the entire store was riddled with bullets. They just opened fire. Between November 17th, 1971 and November 24th, 1971, they broke into two car dealerships and murdered the watchman, stealing over 1 million pesos.
Not okay.
Not okay. New Year came. February 1st, 1972. Carlos and Somoza, Hector, broke into a hardware store. Once again, they killed the night watchman, and they tried to open the safe with the keys that they got from the watchman's body.
Mm-hmm.
One of them tried to open up the safe, couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So Hector got scared and went behind Carlos.
Pulling him away. From it?
No, he wanted... Oh, pulling him away from
Pulling him away from the safe. Like, they started tweaking out that what they were doing. Maybe yeah.
They couldn't, for some reason, open the safe. And in some state of confusion, Carlos panicked, freaked out, or he was startled by something, and he shot Hector and killed him. Shot him four times in the chest.
Seeing a pattern here? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little, yeah.
In order to prevent the police from identifying Hector's body, he took a blowtorch and burned Hector's face off.
No, he did not.
He did.
That's not the only identifying piece. Come on now.
And then he opened the safe with that blowtorch. And then he took the money and he read.
Asking.
I know. He got what he came for. After he killed the watchman and then killed Hector and then... stole the money from the safe, and he left. He forgot to check Hector's pants pockets, where they found, for some reason, Carlos's ID.
I think Hector knew that something was up.
Maybe. I don't know. Carlos had just turned 20.
He's a baby.
Then, as Hector was tried to open the box with the blowtorch, Carlos stood guard. And after a few attempts to open the box, Carlos was trying to open the safe and was having problems with it. And Hector was starting to get scared because it was taking so long.
Yep.
So he went to pull Carlos away and Carlos got scared and turned and shot Jorge.
Which totally makes sense. Like, if you're doing something, that high anxiety, that high stress, you know what I mean? It's like, you're not doing it.
Exactly.
Let's go. So, kind of like our podcast.
Exactly. After that, he took the blowtorch and he burned off Hector's face.
Why?
The police couldn't identify him.
Is that why? But you have teeth. You have fingerprints.
In 71, they still could
use teeth. You still have teeth.
So after that.
Maybe he didn't have teeth.
After Hector was... not recognizable. He finally opened the box and left just as the police were getting there. What's in the box? Never said. And if it did, it was probably twine. He left in such a rush, he forgot that Hector was carrying his ID. The police identified the body and they went to Hector's house where they asked for Carlos. Hector's mom gave them Carlos's address. On February 3rd, police car pulled up to Carlos's house around 4 o'clock. Carlos came up same time with his motorbike. And he was asked if he knew Hector because his ID was in the pocket. And he said, no, I don't know him. The police insisted on looking into Carlos's house and he let him in. And under the piano, they found all the money from the robbery, two guns. It says here two bodies, which I don't think they found two bodies. Initially, he denied these crimes, but then eventually he confessed to each of the crimes that he was accused of. And he confessed in great detail. And he even confessed to a couple robberies that hadn't even been reported. So he was arrested and placed in jail in 1980. So he was tried in 1980 and sentenced to life imprisonment. And he was given the maximum sentence in Argentina. It was to be served in a high security prison in Sierra Chica near. The last words he spoke as he was leaving the court was, "This is a Roman circus. I was judged and sentenced beforehand." Sure it was. He was convicted of 11 murders, one attempted murder, 17 robberies, one rape, one attempted rape, one count of sexual abuse, two kidnapping, and two thefts, and a partridge in a pear tree. Holy cow. And he killed his victims in a variety of ways, such as stabbing, shooting, strangling, bludgeoning to death with rocks, and slitting their throats. And he has been in prison ever since 1973.
He's the kind of guy you want to bring home to mom.
Exactly.
Mom, he's just misunderstood. Yeah. He's a rebel.
So cute.
He's a rebel, mom.
He's so cute.
He just does his own thing.
And he has all this money.
He does his own thing.
He's a free spirit.
People don't like him, but you know what? He's a really nice guy.
He, of course, was examined by a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist said that Carlos comes from a legitimate and complete home, absent from unfavorable hygienic and moral circumstances. There were also no economic constraints of importance, reverses of fortune, abandonment of the home, lack of work, personal misfortune, illness, affective conflicts, or overcrowded or promiscuity. Which basically, everything was fine at home. It's, I got a degree and I'm going to use all the words I can. That's what that is.
Yep.
You know, he's been in prison. Carlos has been in prison for like 45 years now.
Is he still cute?
No. Prison ages you. But since he's been in prison for the 45 years, he's had many psychotic outbreaks and since been diagnosed with having a schizoid behavior. And I'm not sure if that's a technical term or that's just what Google Translate told me.
No, that is a term, but okay.
In July of 2000, he became eligible for parole. But he didn't submit.
No,
he just didn't try to get parole.
Okay.
Then on May 27th, 2008, he submitted a petition for request to be paroled. And the judge who reviewed his petition denied him parole and said he was considered a threat to society. Then on November 2013, he requested a review of his sentence. Or failing that, he wanted to be executed by lethal injection.
Really?
Problem. But that Argentina doesn't have death penalty.
They should have done
And it's
it
not legal.
Should have done Texas. Florida.
So the Supreme Court of Justice denied both the request for review and the request for execution, of course, because it's illegal. March 27th, 2015, the Supreme Court of Justice rejected an appeal filed by Carlos again. Carlos against the aforementioned judicial decision whereby he was denied parole. As of July 2017, he has spent over 45 years in prison, making him the longest serving prisoner in Argentina. And interesting enough, I had no idea until I found this. In August of 2018, over in Argentina, there was a biographical film about Carlos. And it's called The Angel or The Anhel. And it's directed by Luis Ortega. Argentina has submitted it into the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences as they want it to be nominated or they wanted it to be put in for nomination for the best foreign film. And looking at pictures, the boy that they have to play, Carlos, looks exactly like him, looks really close to him. And the real Carlos is very upset because they portray him as gay. And every article that I read said that Hector was his companion. When they asked him if Hector was his partner, he said, no, he's my companion. So it's very unclear if he was gay, but a lot of the internet sites that I went to said he was gay. The internet also told me under employment, they have Carlos
Carlos
as
Carlito.
A Carlito, as relatives and friends would say. But under jobs, mm-hmm. they have Carlos was a serial killer / mechanic.
Well.
In that order.
Okay. Wonder which one he liked more. Well, he was adorable.
Oh, he was so adorable. I'll post pictures.
Young, though. So young.
At 20. He's 65, 67, 65, 65. He's really cute. I'll put his picture up on.
Yeah, he is. That's good. That's a... But you know what? Then that all goes back to everything we always say about like how they grow up. And he was cute and could have had, you know, you choose the A road or the B road. And he chose...
Do you think he was...
The B road.
Do you think Do you think he was so smart that he needed that
thrill
of...
Maybe. I don't know.
School wasn't entertaining enough, so he had to
go. I think that happens a lot. And I think that they get bored and they do drugs or they act out and they're violent.
Well, you know, it could be. His mother had the psychotic, mm-hmm. depressive mm-hmm. psychosis. So he could have had that at a very early age and just went undiagnosed.
I think all that's hereditary. It's chemistry. Come on now.
Chemicals in their brain.
Yeah. But it's like if you are a woman and you have that and you bore a child, that's still going to go.
I do believe mental.
It's chemistry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's your chemicals coming onto them. So.
Right. Your genetics.
That was interesting, Jen.
I know. I never heard of him. And he's so cute. And so is little Jorge.
So you think they're cute, too. So I'm not the only one that thinks psycho killers are cute.
These guys look like
models. They do.
They really do. When I pulled that up, I'm like, there is no way.
It reminded me of The Talented Mr. Ripley. For anybody that's watched that with Matt Damon mm-hmm. and like a very suave, handsome kind of a con artist.
Right.
That's kind of him,
well,
right?
He's not exactly a con artist. He's not Ted Bundy
if
either.
If he was a little bit smarter.
But you know, everybody always said, oh, Ted Bundy is so good looking. No, he wasn't.
He was good looking for that time, though.
No, I don't think
Clean cut. Like, it's the whole, you're psycho, you're crazy. You need to wear that name tag because if you look okay, and that's it's the shocker, like Levi King.
Yeah.
I need to know you're crazy. Don't talk to me unless you have to have the name tag. Hi.
I'm crazy.
My name is Levi and I'm crazy.
I'm crazy and I have a non-associative disorder. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Jen. That was awesome.
Yeah.
We're almost done. Wrapping it up. Taking that ball, hitting it up in the air and taking the bat and no.
Hitting wow, it. Look at you and your baseball metaphors. All right. Who knew, Reggie? Who knew? Pretty interesting. Yep. I've never heard of him before. He's really cute. Go look him up. Hopefully one day we will see that movie. I would love to find. I wonder if it's on Netflix. I haven't even looked for it yet.
I'm probably. What's the name of it again?
The Angel is the American name.
All right, Jen. Well, thank you very much. Take us out.
We have awesome Christmas cards this year. We have a few left. So if you want them, DM me on Twitter at our True Crime Pod, and I will get those out to you. And it's first come, first serve. So the sooner you do it, the sooner you'll get yours.
Could be worth a lot of money one day.
One day.
I doubt it.
Could be.
I doubt it.
All right, Jen. Thank you. Catch ya tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. And remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Oh, bye-bye.
Love you. I really mean it. I love you. Beer and Funyuns, nothing better.
Oh, God.
So I Googled.
I didn't eat lunch. I was bitter and angry, and people kept going, go eat. No. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to starve myself in the elf.
No, I'll show you.
I want to announce to the world that I'm very sorry that I didn't tell my daughter that I would be recording this afternoon.
Darn it.
She's very upset with me.
But she looks cute.
She had to watch. She had to walk all the way down a flight of steps to find me.
Are you okay? Do you need me? Do you need me to get a heating pad? Band-aid? Are you okay? She's not going to make it.
You're not going to make it? Damn it.
And it's right before the holidays.
I know.
Darn it. All those presents. Darn it.
You give your presents to Reggie?
I don't think Reggie's going to like Barbie dollhouses mm-hmm. or baby dolls or whatever it is. Little.
Reggie loves her. She's Reggie's girl.
I know. Look at
Reggie. Don't you wish that I had Reggie's girl?
I listened to that song.
I wish that I had Reggie's. Doesn't that not remind you of Mary?
Well, yeah, and it also reminds me of because that's one. That one in the Lover Boy song in the basement. Everybody's working for the weekend. And then also the Go-Go's. Sixth grade.
Our lips are sealed.
Then she dumped me for other people, and look where she ended up now.
Aww.
Slow dancing.
Swaying to the music. No one else in the whole wide world.
It's a skateaway song is what that is. Never been asked to. Couple
just
skate.
Just you and me. I have.
Whatever.
By my cousin Tony.
She skated with boys.
No, I didn't.
Nobody ever asked me.
Nobody
Hobie
ever asked
did
me.
Once. Hobie? That was his name. Red hair from St. Clair. Hobie. But he danced with everybody.
Toby, or my cousin Tony is the only one that ever skated with me, and I felt so proud. How sad is that?
Your mom and her friend are losers.
Losers.
A big O.
Capital loser.
Capital Lou and a capital a sir. You are so cute. I love you.
You too.
His butt itches. It's the only exercise he gets.
Me too, Reg. Me too.
Carlitos noticed that his friend did not seem the same. He was enlarged.
Enlarged in
that's
another
the
reason? Or
I don't know.
What are we talking about?
He said that the woman he was a winner and he was offered to participate in the program Musica El Libertad.
Focus.
They both.
Go ahead.